Final hour of the Karsh and Anderson program. Stoney in for Doug. Gator with you along with Kang. Taking the calls and texts, 248-539-9797. Started talking about the Tigers garage sale that they're having at Comerica Park. I think you can get stuff online as well. Might want to check that out. But really, the topic is about garage sales in general and estate sales. I mean, what's the best pull you've ever gotten from one of those? Ever find a gem? You see these stories all the time, the antiques road shows and stuff like that, and the storage wars and all that.
Somebody found a quarter that is actually worth $1 million.
Right, yeah, stuff like that. Hey, look at this guitar. It's an original 59 Les Paul that's worth $100,000.
Amazing. I went to an apartment building of a friend of mine who passed away recently, and his brothers said, do you want to take a look at some of his stuff? I said, it's kind of morbid, but yeah. So I took some. He had I didn't have because I was working. The program from the last game at Tiger Stadium I have.
And okay.
A couple of other things like that. The media guide of the 1980 Detroit Express. He was the PR director.
Look at that.
Some ridiculous things like that.
I'd like to look at that actually. Yeah. Being a kid from back in that era, mm-hmm. But you were. Probably 40 years old at that time.
Yeah.
We should probably stop with that. That's not.
No,
right.
It's okay.
It's just mean. It's just flat out mean.
I don't mind,
mean.
You know? It's part of who I am.
It's just mean.
The station, the bit is as old as I am.
Yeah. But the Trevor Francis and Keith Murphy and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be really interesting. Let's go to Russell, who's next up on 97 on the ticket. Hey, Russell.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Listen, love the show. Good
Thank
topic,
you.
Guys. Really, really good topic today. So I was a young buck. I was maybe 20 years old back in like 1999 or 2000, and I bought and sold stuff. I had a comic book store, so I was always looking for that next big amazing deal. And saw a garage sale, and I went to garage sales all the time. Saw a garage sale, went into the garage sale. Nice lady, she's got a bunch of old cell phones and stuff like that on the table, and there's a box of Nextel I-95Cs, which if some historians are out there, I believe it was the first color flip phone. And there were about 10 of them. And I said, what do you want from them? She said, give me 30 bucks, 10, 20 bucks a piece. I don't remember. It was 25 years ago. And I handed her the money so fast. I went home and I was bragging to my then girlfriend, like, hey, babe, look what I found, man. These things are going for like 300 bucks a piece on eBay. I put them on eBay. I sold them. And somehow she talked me into taking the money that I made into getting an engagement ring. And we've been married 24 years now. So,
wow.
The I-95 Nextel C's gave me the money to buy an engagement ring for my wife. And now we're married. But the funniest part of the story is apparently the guy that I bought them from, he was a Nextel guy who fixed the phones, and these were all like phones he was fixing. And I think he didn't mean to sell them. I think he was trying to make a buck on the side, and his wife had other plans.
Hmm.
So that would be, a lucked up find, and that was my best find that I've ever found. And I've been chasing it ever since. I've been chasing the dragon ever since, trying to find it again, and I don't think I ever will.
Good luck.
Like I have.
All right, guys, have a good one.
Thanks, Russell.
I have a lot of old memorabilia and stuff like that that we've been talking about, like Kang and Evan coming over one day just to go through it and see if anything's really worth anything. Some of it I think is.
Well, that Scott Mitchell autographed helmet, the personalized autograph helmet is my favorite.
I know.
That you have.
Yeah.
What's the personalization? What's he, what did he write?
To my Jewish buddy, Scott Mitchell. And it is a legitimate helmet. It was like because I used to do a show. I did the Scott Mitchell show.
And did he do it on his own, or did you ask him to write that?
No, he did it on his own.
Was this during the holidays or something?
Yeah, it was like a Christmas gift he gave me. Yeah, and it was a Rydell like a real
helmet.
Yeah, it's hard as hell to get in. Yeah, it kind of ruined the value. Not that a Scott Mitchell signature is going to be worth much anyway. What's the worst, what's the worst, memorabilia you have?
Hmm.
That you sit there and say, why the hell did I buy it? Even though it was for charity.
Huh.
I have one that, when I went to a basketball camp when I was younger as a kid, and at the end of the last day, it was a week-long camp, very last day of camp, they brought in a Do you remember the name Willie Mitchell?
Oh, yeah.
Basketball Mr. Player, Basketball. Yeah.
Pershing went to Michigan, and then he transferred to, what, UAB or something
that? So he came in, and we had posters, and I have a poster signed by Willie Mitchell. It's worth nothing. I don't want to call it the worst thing. He was Mr. Basketball here in Michigan, but.
I have a framed Lions jersey signed by the one and the only Kevin Jones.
The running back?
Yeah.
Nice.
What's that worth, a dollar?
Oh, I think more than that.
Really?
Yeah, the frame's probably worth more than that.
Unless you just take the nameplate off and change it.
Yeah. There's been times if you get like a real full-size helmet and you get a player that just did not work out, like irrelevant,
right?
You just wipe the signature off, honestly. It's because the helmet's still a lot
helmet's
of money.
Worth something, yeah. I guess for me, I mean, it meant something to me, but in the grand scheme of things, it's nothing, is a Greg Luzinski baseball bat.
I might have something.
I've got a bunch of Luzinski baseball cards because he was my favorite player growing up, favorite athlete pretty much growing up.
Wow, that's amazing. The Bull.
The Bull. Love the Bull.
When you went to the Phillies game, did you go to the, he's got the little, the
Bull, I didn't go to a Bull. Phillies game.
Oh, you never been to a Phillies
game?
No. They used to have a, he used to have, not like, similar like what Boog Powell had in Baltimore, so the Bull area.
The barbecue pit or whatever.
Yeah.
I was in Philly a couple of years ago for a wedding, or just outside Philadelphia, and we went to, I think it was Doylestown. We went to downtown Doylestown and kind of hung out there for a day, and there was some place that had memorabilia, sports cards and memorabilia. So I walked in there, and I figured it's Philadelphia, maybe by chance. I said, you got anything Greg Luzinski? And the guy's like, what? Hey, Greg Luzinski. He's like, I don't know. Maybe we might have a card here somewhere. He was just like so put off by it. I'm like, all right, never mind. But that's about maybe the most useless piece of sports memorabilia that I would have. Jeff is next up here, 97 The Ticket. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
How are you?
Good. So I hit a garage sale in Lansing a couple of years ago. And Gator, you're an old Spartan, right?
Yep.
All right. So you remember Big Ten Party Store?
Yeah, Odie's Big Ten, yeah.
Yes, sir. The place where every fake ID got snatched. Anyways, so there was an old sign in Odie's Big Ten. It was a 7-Up sign, but it was a scoreboard with a chalkboard on it, so you could write in the whole Spartan schedule for the year, yep. And then they kept track of the scores. So somebody had that exact sign. They picked it out of the trash. I bought it for $50. And now it's hanging up in my garage. And as far as I'm concerned, that thing's priceless, man.
That's good score. What year is it from?
When I was doing my research, because there was printed names on it for the first time, it was from the late 50s.
Oh,
when
wow.
And then they covered up each year and changed the names of the teams they were playing with paper, which some of them were still on there. So this thing was like 60, 70 years old when I bought it. So cool, man.
Wow, that's pretty great. Get that in the case of red, white, and blue, and now you're talking.
I used to send away.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks.
I used to send away to every team, professional sports team, like a letter saying, can you please send me
autographs?
Whatever. Not autographs. Anyway, so I still have, and some of them sent back, sorry, we don't do that. They send back like a price list of stuff you can order. But I have like the original, like Vancouver Canucks pocket schedule from their first ever year. I have a lot of that stuff.
Wow. That's actually pretty interesting. Carol.
Van Dusen.
Hey, Carol, how are you?
Hey, I'm fine. How are you guys?
Good. What's happening?
Well, I got a real story. It's the racing form from 1929 Kentucky Derby.
Wow.
I spotted it. I taught history for 35 years, so I knew that this was good, but it was 1929, and it was for sale for $25.
Wow!
And I said, "Oh, great! I'll take it." Now I did the research, as every good historian would do.
Sure, absolutely.
And here it is. Clyde Van Dusen was the winning horse, and Clyde Van Dusen was the horse's trainer. It was run on a wet track. Mine was in the stands, which would a wet track, they're out, there's a lot of people out, you know, you've been to horse races, and they're standing in the rain. What did they do to their programs? They're just soaked.
Right, so you have one that was actually well preserved.
You have a limited number.
Wow.
So anyway, get this. He was sired by Man of War.
Man of War.
Yes.
The great racehorses of all time.
A famous horse. So I put it up on eBay, and I sold it for $550.
I said, man,
nice job. That's amazing, Carol.
That was a great one, guys.
That's a great find.
Really great.
Thank you for calling, Carol. We appreciate it. You fed them carrots. Well played, Stoney.
Thank you.
Well played. 248-539-9797, a telephone number. If I Bet It, coming up 1:35 here on 97.1 The Ticket.